traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Producer Rob's kicking off the episode today. It is, when you guys listen to this, it'll be Wednesday, January 11th, maybe the 12th, depending on how quickly we get the day rolling and wrapped up. What's going on, brother? How are you?
Man, you sound a little groggy, big dog.
I haven't talked much this morning. I've been up since 5:30 and I've said like 7 words, and they've all been to Juan.
Maybe that's the key part, the 5:30 a.m. part. That's what's got you sounding.
Yeah.
Medio desvelado with me. That's like you had a rough night.
No, actually, well, last night I went to sleep later than usual, but the night before that, I went to sleep at 8:30 p.m.
Oh, early.
The night before yesterday, because I was getting ready for Javi and, you know, making sure everything was
cool. How'd you manage to go to bed at 8:30?
Dude, by 7, Don and I were just like, hey, are you tired? Like, I'm pretty tired today. We've just been blowing and going since the first, like, from the first to the 10th, we were just like, be productive, dude, get shit done, right? By the 11th, we're like, are you tired? It's 7 o'clock. I am. Let's just go to bed.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
January, whooping y'all's ass. Y'all going too hard, bro.
I know, but you know how it is, the kids and the life and everything.
Oh, man, I got little ones, bro.
I know.
So I be hearing about Cameron Haynes, like, man, you know, he run about 25 miles, man. That's a Tuesday for him. He do 5 miles before work, 5 miles during lunch, another 5 miles before going home. I'm like, what type of babysitter you have?
Right.
How old are your babies?
Also,
because how do you squeeze that in?
Dude, Goggins. Did you hear the newest Goggins by chance on Rogan?
No.
Like 2 weeks ago?
Charlie.
Ooh, so good. So good.
It was just like motivational?
Yeah, you know, he's got another book out, and he hasn't done a podcast since he did Rogan originally like 5 years ago.
He hasn't done a Rogan podcast?
He doesn't do podcast.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, he's like, nah, fuck, that's a waste of time. Like, he's doing all these other things, right?
Oh.
This hard ass, you know, Navy SEAL businessman kind of guy, and he's running and blowing and going and doing shit and writing books. But it's not his medium, right? Like, podcasting is not his main thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I did not know that.
Speaking of podcasts, we have a special announcement for all of our Apple users. If you go to the podcast app right now, as you're watching this or listening to this, I'm going to do it with you guys. Open the podcast app. It's the purple app that says podcast. It's the iTunes app. It's where 90% of RPT fans listen to this show. If you are already subscribed to the show, which obviously you are because you're listening to this, or if you just search it in the search bar and if you type in Chingo Bling, let's all do this together, everybody. You type in Chingo Bling, you are going to find that if you scroll down just a little bit, there's a Chingo Bling channel where you'll see all of the shows that are under the Chingo Bling Podcast Network umbrella. Now, if you click on RPT, which is the first one, yes.
This sounds so major. We have a network. Go on.
We got a network. Now, you'll see that you got the 4 shows, Scott Facit at the Time, RPT, Her Lounge, and What Did He Said. What Did He Said will have a new logo that Chingo's has worked on that we're going to launch with new episodes of that show.
What Did He Said? This Tuesday?
What Did He Said?
Or when are we dropping on Mondays?
We haven't officially decided that, actually. So you got to
tell me.
Well,
we haven't dropped. I mean, we don't. I guess really it's going to depend a lot on you and Juan, but we don't drop anything on Mondays currently.
We don't.
So maybe it'll be like, What Did He Said?
Mm-hmm.
What Did He Said?
What Did He Said?
We got Javi Luna this episode coming up. What Did He Said? Monday. And then you could do
Cafecito Time
on Tuesday, RPT Wednesday, and then the patrons got the RPT Thursday
and Friday.
RPT Friday.
Yep.
And the Apple Podcast subscribers.
Yep. So that's the new announcement. So Apple subscribers, this is a new thing that they rolled out about last summer, I want to say, summer of 22, maybe late 21. And they want to rival things like Patreon, right? We've been talking about the Patreon now for 2 years. So what I was getting at is that if you click on the channel, or even RPT in general, anywhere, subscribe, whether you're subscribed or you search for it, you're going to see RPT members. 90% of our listeners come from Apple. The other 10 come from, I say 5% Spotify and like 5% Google, but the bulk of it is from Apple. If you click on there, you're going to get access to a 3-day free trial of the bonus episodes, which end up being Thursdays and Fridays. So triple the episodes per week. That's like 12 per month.
Like, you sound like you're trying to hook people on Red Pill Thermometer. Like,
I mean, they're already hooked.
You're like, the first hit is on me, big guy.
The first hit is on me because I don't want to get high amount supply. You know what I'm saying? So you get a 3-day free trial, and then it's going to be $5 a month, just like our entry tier for Patreon. The difference is that our Apple subscribers don't get all the other perks. They don't get access to us in the Patreon. They don't get access to the Discord server. They don't get any of the other discounts that are coming with the new merch store. They don't get anything else, but they're huge fans of the podcast, so they're going to get more audio. know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That makes sense,
I
right?
I dig it. Yeah, I dig it.
Makes total sense.
I'm sure the people will dig it, and if we got to make adjustments, we will.
Yeah, so if you happen to subscribe and it says $9.99, it's going to be $5 once that free trial is over. It's just taking a little bit for the Apple pricing structure to take effect because it defaults to $9.99. Yeah, but most podcast creators on there do anywhere from like 5 to 7. Because also, we got to keep in mind, Apple, they're no punk. They got to take their cut. How much do you think their cut is?
If it's anything like the music business, it's a healthy cut. It's a nice chunk. What they going, like 33% or something?
30, yeah. So 70-30, it's a 70-30 split.
No Vaseline, bro. Like, damn.
And if you guys love the content as much as you do, I think you do, and you're going to subscribe for more than a year, once you hit the year mark, Apple, they become a little more generous and they give you 85.
Oh, okay.
So after a 12-month, like if most of our patrons that are on there have been on there since the beginning of the show, so they would have hit that one-year mark, two-year mark even. And I think at 2 years, they might even bump it up a little bit more, but let's just try to get everybody on board to get the extra content in general.
Yeah, for sure. Well, everything you just said is a clip.
Yep.
And let's push it.
Hell yeah. So let's just start off the episode nice and easy. Joe Breezy had some documents found in his motherfucking closet. When's the raid starting?
My butt's been white.
I'm not scared of no ghost.
I like chocolate chip. I'm a chocolate chip kind of guy. Hey, man. Hey, you know what? Shout out to Joseph Raheem Breezy. He has solved racism. Stevie Capone sent me the clip I had posted a while back of the guy that interviews people. And he's like, Trump or Biden?
Yeah.
The little Hispanic dude with fanny pack. He's like, psh, Biden, fool. And he's like, okay, why? And he's like, psh, because fuck Trump. He's like, why is that? And he's like,
because I'm Mexican.
And he's like, are you here legally? No, he said, but what does it have to do with anything?
Mm.
And then he says, I don't want to go over the wall. And then he's like, are you here legally? And you're scared of being deported? He's like, no, I'm here legal. And he's like, so why would they deport you? And he's like, white people or something like that. Stevie sent it to me and I'm like, there was so much to unpack. I was just like, bro, the media did their job. And people would have voted for this plastic water bottle right here.
Yeah.
Over anything over the racist orange, man. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, such a perfect launching point for this conversation because I was listening to, on the way here to the studio, the Hodge twins were on Tim Pool on Monday night. And they had the exact same thing, right? Happened to them when they're known as the conservative twins. But everybody that knows the name, the Hodge twins, knows them from the fucking fasting twins, the fitness twins, all the YouTube channels that they had about fitness.
What was that, intermittent fasting?
A whole channel dedicated to IF.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've been on YouTube for 10, 12 years prior to all this political stuff over the last, mm-hmm. Three-ish years. Mm-hmm. And they were like, man, our agent, told us it was political suicide. Like, it was career suicide, rather. Like, don't do it, this, that, and the other. And they're both, they're half black, half white. Their wives are from, Guatemala and Jalisco. Like, they're married to Hispanics.
One's from Guatemala?
Yeah, I believe so. One's from Jalisco, for sure.
Okay.
And the other one might be Guadalajara. I don't know. But
you're like, all the Mexican countries and shit.
Yeah, I think even,
I don't know if it's Matehuala, Guatemala, fucking Jalisco, El Salvador, Nicaragua.
No clue.
Hey, like midnight, he was like, Nicaraguans? He was like, Nicaragua. He was like, man, I just found out that's a Latino country or something like that. I don't want to murder his joke. Shout out to midnight. He's like, Nicaragua? Nicaragua. Nicaragua. He's like, man, I just found out.
Say that a little slower, midnight.
Yeah, anyway.
So they were on there and they were talking about all this kind of stuff and they were just like, dude, it's crazy. They're telling Tim how from one day to the next, like their stand-up shows had a whole different audience. Their audience abandoned them almost overnight because 90% plus of, black Americans vote Democrat. And they're like, that's crazy. No other demographic, 90% votes for one side no matter what. Like you couldn't talk, no sense in these people. They were, super close-minded and ignorant. And they go on through this whole conversation, which I'm only like halfway through, but you can relate to some of that for sure.
He just called me close-minded and ignorant, dog. See,
I said they're fans, not you.
No, but I was also one of those people that was kind of like, oh, I'm Democrat by default. They're the ones that care about the downtrodden and the minorities.
Well, they said the same thing about themselves.
Yeah. So, but you have to also remember, when you said the statistic, why so many black folk still tend to vote Democrat no matter what? Like, why are they so entrenched with one particular party?
Yeah.
And why is that a trend statistically? And I mean, one could argue that folks on the left not only knew how to mobilize and do outreach and kind of hijack movements a little bit and like wedge themselves like, oh, we marching. Yeah, we marching.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But motherfucker, who are you? I'm an ally. So, and Malcolm X tried to warn y'all. You know, he's like a political football and we don't really have much say because they just play the game different. But they'll pick up an issue and make it a football, you know, whether it's abortion, you know, you mean reproductive health. And it's like, stop mutilating kids. You mean gender affirming care. And they just playing political football. So my point is, you know, why do so many people of certain particular groups tend to just stick and be loyal? Mm-hmm. Like, how did it become so part of the culture? Meaning you're a sellout and you're self-loathing, whatever, and you a coon and they using you and this and that. How did it become so entrenched? Well, I mean, number one, they be at all the black churches.
Yeah.
That's still a thing. That's still a thing. You know, you always going to have, it don't matter if it's a white Democrat. For example, when, check this out. This is like off the beaten path, a little tangent.
I like it.
In Jay Prince's book, he talks about how his church, which mm-hmm. he like gave them like $1 million and everything else. Like people knew, yo, Jay Prince getting his music money. He just gave the whole church. So that church was hosting Al Gore. Okay. Democrat.
Yeah.
So that church was hosting Al Gore, which that's a common thing. You always going to see the Democrat politicians, whether it's Joe Biden, Kamala. I mean, just name one. Lena, probably Sylvester Turner, they going to be at the black churches, right? They got to keep it the way it is in the culture and whatever and get the cosign from pastor.
Right.
Now, where was I?
Jay Prince, the church.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Al Gore. All right. So Ross Perot, I believe he was running independent or I don't know.
Yes, he's the one that split the vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Ross Perot had bread, right? Like super rich dude from up north, like Dallas, Texas, right? Word on the streets in the Jay Prince book, The Art and Science of Respect, basically, Ross Perot did fake news and planted a fake story, like with his money and influence. Oh, I think even the newspaper he might have even owned. It was like the Dallas Morning News or something. Y'all fact check me. And basically, when he was in the church, in the pews, the day that Al Gore was up there, he was just there for his church. He was like, had no dog in the fight. And he kept telling his wife, like, I feel like these Secret Service people or whoever these little people that came with them, like, who are these cats? Like, these are some outsiders, right? I feel like they're kind of focusing on me. And she's like, no, stop. You're being paranoid. He's like, I don't know. I get the sense, you know, and come to find out, He basically said, let's go ahead and leave alert. Let's get out of here, right? I'm not going to go do the handshake with Al Gore. So Ross Perot had planted the story that Al Gore was receiving, like he got like $500,000 donation from Jay Prince in exchange, you know, in his eye, a murky, past, shady type of dealings. And this is who Al Gore. So Ross Perot had people there to try to get a picture of Jay Prince shaking hands with Al Gore at the church to create the fake news that he gave Al Gore $500,000. And that rumor off of that one article that did print, it really stuck. Like, that's why his reputation, like, precedes him. Like, there's so many things. Like, bro, the DEA was after him, I think it was DEA. When I first heard these stories, when I was first coming up in the music game, the people that were like doing the cheese man, you know, yeah, man, yeah, Jay Prince, man, he got to roll a certain way and they follow him to the ranch and they harassing them and they pulled him over for nothing. And they were trying to kill him. I'm like, bro, you telling me there's rogue DEA agents that just go on these little fucking side quests? They go on these side quests and they getting at somebody like doing hits,
yeah,
or sprinkling some dope in somebody's car. So anyway, y'all can go read the book. I'm not going to fucking spoil the whole story, but
that sounds like a great book.
It's insane. And there's an audio book too, and that's the best way to do it. Yeah. But anyway, my point is, Democrats be up in the churches.
I like how you use the side quest analogy that we were talking about yesterday.
They just taught me a new word on the What Did You Say podcast. New episode dropping this Monday. Brand new episode. And we also talked a lot about music. And I wanted to say that, for one, thank you for recommending those albums because, you know, I've always had a pretty, because I'm a music nerd, I've had a pretty broad exposure and interest in a variety, anything from classical to heavy metal. Like, but I ain't no heavy metal expert, right?
Sure.
So I got to really have a homework assignment. Y'all go listen to the What Did You Say episode where we talk about this. But like, Rob gave me a homework assignment. One of them was Pantera. I listened to the deluxe version, the live tracks on the deluxe version. I was like, holy shit. And I recommend any young producer out there, any young producer out there, here's my whole point. Any young artist, any young songwriter, any young rapper, make it a point. Maybe even join the Discord and we could start having this musical exchange. Because we have a crazy playlist. Like, folks in the Discord, they're music lovers and it's like 10,000 songs. Yeah. Ah, I got to put this. But like, if we do this like as a reading club, book club, like, oh, I want to go listen to what Rob had assigned to him. Or
that's a great idea.
Or whatever, right? So every producer and youngster out there, expand your repertoire, do the homework, because your next biggest hit might be inspired by some Beatles shit, or you might have got an idea of how certain bands use melody, or you might structure your beats. It might be a hip hop song, but you might get inspired from some heavy metal shit where, like, I like how the drums switch up after every four bars, and I'm gonna make sure my beats build up. Because, like, Waka Flocka and his producers, like Southside and all these cats, you could tell they have a heavy metal
tone. Oh, yeah.
The crunk is like the other side of the coin of heavy metal.
Yeah. That's awesome. I was also, and we talked about it there. Well, I won't spoil it all either, but I was telling Shingo, when it came to Outkast, because he assigned me Outkast and Nas, Illmatic, and then was it Southern Playlistic Cadillac Music?
Yes, and mind you, Robert was four when these albums came out. So he was 4 years old when these albums came out.
That's true. I was four when all of them came out, the ones I recommended to you.
I know, and that tripped me out. I was telling Marisol last night, I was like, can you believe this motherfucker assigned me some albums that came out when he was four?
I told Shingo I was headbanging in diapers. Like, that's what I was exposed to.
When did you catch on to them two albums? Like, what grade?
By that, I was probably 10.
By age 10,
I was listening to Cowboys from Hell, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's badass. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, on the bus, you know, the people that had, like, the tapes and stuff in the back of the bus, the high schoolers at that point, which were, my brothers were 10 years older than me, so they were already out of school, but, like, they were still kids, obviously, in high school. Every high school class has that kind of shit. But anyway, my only exposure to Outkast, honestly, and like most people know Andre 3000. You say the name, people are like, oh yeah, Outkast, right? Mm-hmm. Even though they don't really give, is it Big Boy?
Big Boy and the crew, Organized Noise. So you know the pop star CeeLo Green?
Yes, of course.
You know he's on that album.
Is he?
Yes.
He
came from that same crew. They were just rappers and he'd be the one that kind of sang. He'd like, me and my family moved to an apartment complex.
Oh, I didn't even look at the name.
But he's on a, you got to get up, get out, and get something.
That's good. That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that's mostly.
You can't just get high.
Yeah. He got to get, as Rob doing his homework.
100%.
Don't spend all your time trying to get high.
Yeah, dude, it was good. So my whole thing was that all I really knew about Outkast would have been like, I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. And then what else came around that time?
Hey, yeah,
like, that was it. No one ever said, you've got to
like
go.
The way you move.
Right. Which is nothing like their early stuff.
And guess what? Who sang the hook on I Like the Way You Move? Sleepy Brown. Sleepy Brown is also a member of that Organized Noise crew, which is like the Wu-Tang of Atlanta. So it's this organized crew. You still got Goody Mob. You know what I mean? You still had, I'm drawing a blank on all the other groups, but the producers were Organized Noise. And they were getting that big money record deal shit. Like, they were, like, before Atlanta became, like, the super, super hot spot for fucking music, the music business, obviously you had LaFace Records, L.A. Reid, and Babyface. So they were kind of, like, the kings of it. And then you started hearing, like, Key Sweat. All this shit was out. You were probably made to Key Sweat. But I don't know if he was out in 89. But anyway, finish saying what you were saying.
Well, no, it was cool because, like we talked about on what he said, like, there's just something about certain music that makes you stop what you're doing. And there was some of the songs on that Outkast album versus, and I'm just trying to compare the two because those were my assignments. I didn't get a lot of that from the Nas album. It was just a totally different sound. It's straight up New York. It's a lot slower. It's a lot more lyrically serious, if that makes sense. compared to what Outkast was. I don't know, I guess I gravitated more to the Outkast stuff.
I'm surprised. You know what you got to do? Here's the next assignment. You got to go back and watch that episode of Ozark that had Killer Mike in it, and it's when they focus on Ruth's character and her.
Oh, when they're in the diner?
Well, she's up to a lot of things. There's a lot of shit, you know what I mean?
Great show.
You got to go back and watch that episode because so many different tracks from Nas Illmatic are sprinkled throughout. So she might be driving, and it just sets the tone.
Oh, so, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, so basically Ruth is a Nas fan, and this particular episode, the way it was written, it was like an homage. So it was very a smart way to template out the script by basically saying, okay, when we focus on Ruth, part of the thumbprint is some of her favorite music. What could that be? Let's just say Nas-O-Matic. You know what I mean? Maybe she was in high school at that time. Whatever. I don't even know how the fuck.
Oh, yeah. She was listening to it on her iPod, right?
Throughout the entire episode.
Right? I remember
From like start to finish. So now that you've actually sat and like did the homework.
Yeah.
The same way I did my homework.
I found it super beneficial, honestly. Like, it kind of just started off as a little bit of a jokey bit, but that's actually a really good thing, I think, for everybody to do. Like, everyone's got that cousin who's got the complete opposite taste, or even siblings got complete opposite taste. Like, you should really take the time. If you're a music lover,
yeah.
I know, like, a handful of people that are like, I don't like music. I fucking hate those people.
Weird.
It's super weird.
It's the best way I could describe it, sorry to interrupt, is it's like a different strain. So you might have, it's just a different... Sometimes you got to do that, especially like with me right now, jamming the heavy metal in the live version too. Like, it's almost like, hey, Chingo, we're going to take your brain, right? You had all this hip hop on there that you preferred and you always gravitated to. And obviously, I listen to other shit too. I'll throw in some country from time to time or like a lot of gospel, just random stuff, right? And if my kid's in the car, it's the Wednesday Netflix series playlist. So, even the little one, she's 1.5 and she walks around the house. If you play it, she's like, Jesus, I'm going to praise. When I pray. That's the remix. We ain't finna have no occult. Don't be having Jenna Ortega out here. I got y'all out here playing the Ouija board. Next thing you know, you part of the kink world and we don't know what's going on. But anyway, it's like my brain was like, hey, dude, we're going to just dust this off. It's almost like psilocybin in a way. Like, you're going to take your brain and you're training your eardrums to some other shit. Like, so now you, it's going to put you in a different mode. So now them kettlebells this morning.
Oh, different level.
Bitch.
Lightweight.
What you want?
Lightweight.
Thrusters. The one-handed bitches. The one-hand pullbacks.
Yep. Right by the ear, right?
Pull Those up. Are called putazos.
I like
That's
it.
That's a kettle putazo.
Dude, drop in the comments your favorite. Give us your two favorite artists, like, from whatever it is. If you're a hip-hop head, if you're a heavy metal person, if you're a reggae, you know, we talked like Sublime and Bob Marley from... Whatever.
Yeah, because the shit trips me out. Because I'd be like, Rob, you fuck with Bob Marley? He's like, yeah, not my cup of tea.
And all the songs that you know, all the songs he mentioned were like department store songs that I'd heard. Like,
so to you, that's what I'm saying. To you, like at the point in time where you first experienced Bob Marley, by then he had already been dead forever.
Long time.
He had already been iconic because any swap meet, carnival. It could be on the Indian reservation. It could be the state fair. You're going to see a vendor with some Tupac shit and some Bob Marley shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be a bandana, a blanket, a picture frame. Like, at any state fair, pulga, anywhere there's little vendors, that's how iconic. So, to you, he's the guy that plays the department store music.
I shot the sheriff.
But I did not shoot the deputy. Eddie Murphy has a great joke about that.
No joke. Speaking of Eddie Murphy, it's not on today's topics. We have a ton of articles to get to, and we're going to spread them over all of our episodes. So subscribe on iTunes if you want the bonus the way the patrons get it. But he had a joke last night. I guess the Golden Globes were last night or the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And he had some joke about the three keys to success. The blueprint to success. One was, he has this almost like semi-serious setup, and he's like, I got to do these three things. Pay your taxes, mind your own business, and keep Will Smith's wife's name out your mouth. You know? But he like built up on it and like started yelling towards the end of it. It was funny. It was hilarious.
See, I don't know if you understand, bro.
I'm waiting for him to make a comeback because I can go back and I can go back to try to appreciate what you saw at the time, but I don't know if it's going to hit the same.
Okay, so you haven't seen much Eddie Murphy stand-up.
I haven't seen Raw or Delirious. I haven't seen... honestly, only things that have gone viral over the last couple of years on, like, TikTok and shit, which I can't even remember the bits to... I can't remember an Eddie Murphy bit the way I can, like, recite a Cat Williams bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely going to hit different because it was, like, the 80s and shit.
Yeah. But I want to see him come out in that red, you know, suit and shit, jacket and whatever.
Hopping out the helicopter. I mean, top of the world, bro.
Yeah.
Super rock star. Like on some Michael Jackson of comedy type shit. Just super next level. you know. I mean, it was like, you know.
That changed your life.
I'm saying like how big, like how humongous. Talking about you're in all the big movies and you left the biggest show, Saturday Night Live. You were the show. You saved the show. Real talk. If it weren't for Eddie Murphy, that show was already about to go under. Mm. And then he said, cut the cameras on. I'm about to do some shit. And just the biggest draw when it came to like any late night stand up, Johnny Carson appearance, he's going, young Eddie doing a little bit of stand up. So young. I can't remember how old he was when he like literally was like, I think he was doing stand up in the clubs at 16. And I think like by the time maybe he was 19 or something, he was hopping out of helicopters, doing fucking stadiums, like at movie and theaters. Didn't nobody had that. Y'all could fact check me. Kevin Hart might have did it now. Shout out to Kevin. That's probably like, you know, it's just apples and oranges because it's like Jordan. Yeah. It's like Eddie Murphy, Jordan, the GOAT. And it's like, okay, you Kevin Durant, you the shit. You know, I don't want to be like, the Chingle Bling Carver. Kevin Durant's dope. But like, you know, Kobe, LeBron, somebody.
How old was he doing stadiums, you said?
He might have been like 23 or Damn. Something. Like humongous arenas. I mean, on top of the world. Like, just think like, just almost picture like Floyd Mayweather. Like private jet type shit, you know, with his boys and... on all the big films, Beverly Hills Cop,
yeah,
that was a fucking humongous banger. Trading Places,
didn't see Trading Places.
You might want to pull out that trailer, maybe on one of these other episodes. But hey,
that's premium content.
Yeah, but go on.
We'll get dinged by fucking YouTube and shit. No, so to wrap up, just to put a pin in the music stuff. I appreciate those two. They contrasted each other very well. So whenever you think of another two, I think I like the contrast. It wasn't like East West because Outkast was Atlanta, right?
Yeah, Atlanta. Yeah.
So it's not the same as like having assigned me something from the West Coast versus like Nas. But I'm sure you'll get to it. And then you listen to Metallica too, which you didn't talk about that at all, but on the podcast much because they also contrast pretty heavily. Yeah. Metallica and Pantera.
And I'm still on Pantera, bro. I'm not going to switch back to Metallica just yet.
That's what's up, man. I think that's great. Cowboys from Hell is probably one of the best albums ever. And that one album, like, you know, it was impactful as hell. And then obviously Dimebag dies and he gets shot on stage by a crazy fan.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. I'll pull up the video maybe off podcast, but some lunatic goes up, shoots him in the head at a concert.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
I want to go to that's one of the things I haven't done. It's up in Dallas where he was buried. Like, I just want to go and just be there, take a picture, kind of like take it in or whatever.
Yeah.
Crazy shit. But the Metallica part, like, so I don't know when or where, and if I do, I don't know if I'll say it, but my brother, I don't know, did I tell you that the Christmas present my brother got me?
What was it?
We're going to go see Metallica this year.
Oh, word.
Yeah, and okay. Pantera's opening up for them.
This year?
Yes. So they got...
How are they doing it without the...
Zakk Wylde, from, you know, he's played with Ozzy, he's played with a bunch of other bands.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucking losing his band's name, but regardless.
What instrument is that?
Guitar. He played guitar.
And who's lead singer?
Phil. I forgot Phil's last name. Phil's still got a voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
When is this and where is this?
So Metallica's touring for the next 2 years. It's been a long time. They're releasing a new album for the first time in I don't know how many years. They have their latest single just came out. It's good. It goes back to, it sounds like late 80s, early 90s Metallica. So fans are fucking crazy about it. They like it. And so he got me tickets. We're going to go see him. And
how many people are going to be more psyched about Pantera than Metallica?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's it's exciting to see. Like, that's a pretty cool duo just in general. Like, this might be the last time you ever get to see a duo like that. So a lot of the tickets have already sold out. Like the Fort Worth shows are already sold out.
So where are y'all going to go see them?
I think we're going to go to New York, believe it or not.
Oh, big baller.
So he took everything. He took care of everything for me, or for us. And it just so happens that the Astros are going to be playing. So I think we're going to try to catch a weekend where it's Astros and Metallica.
Okay. Y'all trying to make like a rom-com.
Basically, yeah.
Like two brothers on a trip.
Honestly, it's exactly what it is, because him and our other brother always go. Like, they always go do the kind of trips.
It's like, and then the flights are down and canceled, dude. So it's like, turns into a road trip. It's like planes, trains, and automobiles. Redux.
Dude. This summer, two brothers go on tour. But yeah, so that's fucking, it was cool.
Wow.
Super excited. Like, I'm... beyond excited.
Hey, man, you got to live stream that hoe, man. Send me the link.
I will. I'll do it. Send me the link. I'll put it on IG.
I'd be the one that's like more concerned with Pantera at the moment, to be honest.
That's
like,
cool.
I remember when my sister, Pat, she's 10 years older than me. I was real young, so she took me to this concert, 97.9 The Box had. Mm-hmm. It was like Lil' Kim. First of all, I had no business looking at Lil' Kim.
Drop
the Hot Pocket like that out here in front of my family members. I think it was like Lil' Kim, maybe like Scarface, Too Short. Somebody's probably looking up a flyer. What year did 97.9 The Box? But it was like one of them arenas. Like it was big, right? It was a big event because there was a lot of big stars. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, opening up, apparently somebody I had never really heard of at the time, Master P. And I remember it was some people right in front of us in the row. And the dude, he was just like not concerned with none of this New York ass shit and none of this old bullshit y'all got up here in 97.9. He kept saying, "We want to see Percy. Come on, man. Bring Percy out. Where Percy at? Damn, I can't wait to see Percy." I'm like, "Who the fuck is Percy?" Master P.
Really?
So he was already bubbling just with a, you know how like this Pantera Metallica type of thing.
Yeah. And
there's been a lot of instances where like, I mean, I've been in that situation on probably both ends of the coin, mm-hmm. you know, like as a young up and coming person that's buzzing and they got like some big name people that, hey, you got some diehards that are like, y'all don't know about this, the one we got to get there early. You know what I mean? Like, they put him early in the fucking lineup because they don't know what they doing, but this the motherfucker we... It's just like a different sound, a different texture.
Mm, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So up and coming Master P.
Yeah, super up and coming Master P.
Wow.
For all we know, he threw the concert just so he could have some stage time.
That's dope, man. Well, this has been a first fun half of the podcast. I love talking about this shit. Maybe on the premium episodes, we'll put, because, you know, guys, it's hard to do this on the free ones because you get dinged everywhere. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and stuff. You can't really play videos and trailers. They demonetize stuff and they just, you know, give you strikes and shit on your channel. So if you like that kind of stuff, it is on the premium episodes from time to time. But what's before we move on to actual news stories for the day, what's a video? You like music videos, right? Like you used to appreciate like...
Oh, I used to be a big fan of like Hype Williams and I would nerd out.
I think that's what I would like to do next is like...
Like I was starstruck being around Hype Williams.
That's like, I think there are videos that also kind of transcend time or that are just super impactful that people should watch because they're not the same. Like we really don't make music videos the way they used to.
Mm-hmm. They used to have $1 million budgets.
Yeah, so I don't know of those kind of $1 million budgets that were from the 90s, like, or from any time, honestly, that you think is impactful.
I think you did. I think if you saw like when you were a kid and you saw like Kid Rock, my name is Kid.
That's true, yeah, Ball with the Ball.
Yeah, they spent money on like, I mean, all these boy bands that were out at the time, your Britney Spears stuff, your NSYNCs and all that shit, 98 Degrees, like just name anything that was on TRL.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw TRL, you saw, granted, a lot of that money kind of got like, it was an invoice. It was a way to fuck artists.
I was going to say, did the artists get anything from that?
It probably a lot of times, it's kind of hard to explain. We don't want to go down to some technical entertainment math, but basically on paper, yes, they cost it over $1 million.
Damn.
Yes. It was probably a way to keep the artist in debt.
In check, too, right?
In debt, really, and in check. Because a broke artist is an obedient artist.
Right.
Just like if they take your gas stove away, you really fucking boo-boo the fool. You know, I told you the lights went out on us. And I'm like, fuck, I got to fuck with this generator and turn off the breaker and put the tape here and plug in and make sure I don't get electrocuted.
Yeah. But
or blow the circuit and now the fridge don't work.
Daddy, why is the fire alarm going off again?
Oh my God, bro.
So perfect kind of conversation, everything we've talked about. I have just thoughts or a question on your thoughts of the term The Matrix. Just based off the last 3 years, the political climate, just the country, even though honestly the world right now, Russia, Ukraine, you know, China, everything. What do you think of when you hear the term Matrix these days and how does it hit? Does it hit a certain way?
I guess I don't really like, I don't pay attention to it too much. It doesn't like, oh my God, strike a chord. But right now, if I'm forced to kind of like think about it, it's kind of like, it is trippy. Like at this point, based on what we've seen, the level of involvement of like intelligence agencies and their tentacles in everything from big tech and just all the collusion and the fact checking and the, you know, flat earth is a theory that has been proven false by Neil deGrasse Tyson. Therefore, the CDC now advises you go get boosted for the holidays or whatever, right? Like, your little disclaimers big tech, they don't hit the same.
Yeah.
It's like everybody overplayed their hand. They went from, like for example, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was going to say, you got to recommend that video.
He's on the Patrick Bet David show. And basically, they got me with the clickbait and the thumbnail. And basically, Patrick Bet David, that's his name, right? He's basically like pushing back to Neil deGrasse Tyson, saying like, but they said it was going to be this effective. Can we say now that based on the data and the actual science that, you know, he's just kind of like trying to challenge. And Neil deGrasse is like, you don't understand. This guy, does he know what science is? This guy doesn't know what, look, you have to look the way, so there's a system, all right? And it was tested. He's like, tested by who, how? It takes 5-10 years. You know, is he Armenian? Yeah.
Iranian.
Oh, from Iran. Yeah. Okay, he's Persian. So basically, he's just like, it takes 5 to 10 years, and how is it this 6 months, 9 months? It's out already. And he's just like, it was tried, and see, it was tuned to the first strain of the thing, and then it evolved. And see, what you don't understand is, because, and it's like, motherfucker, you a little TV fucking, you just there to say, go get your boost.
It's unfortunate because, so Chingo posted it in the Discord, and I had to watch it just because as of late, I mean probably last 2-3 years, anytime Neil deGrasse Tyson has done a podcast, he's the most combative motherfucker on the podcast. I didn't even listen to the most recent Rogan he was on. I couldn't do it. It's not fun anymore. When he first came on the scene years ago and he was doing like the Star Talk podcast, which I don't know if he still does, and he had that show that came out on Fox about, you know, the fucking stars and shit, it was kind of cool. I was like, oh, he makes it very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then it just got to his head, man. It got to his motherfucking head.
Oh, no, but there's a clip from 5 years ago on YouTube, and it's basically the name of the clickbait is like Eddie Bravo talks flat earth with Joe Rogan or something, right?
Yeah.
And it's literally an intervention. Like it doesn't, like, it's from 5 years ago, right? Yeah. So we've learned a lot about how some of these three-letter agencies are like wait, because, you know, Joe kept telling Eddie like, come on, man, you telling me we really didn't, you telling me the moon ain't, come on, Eddie, I can't do this anymore, Eddie. Like, yeah. Stop, we're really concerned. And Shab's there like, dude, I think he's really pushing back on you because you're so influential. And Bravo's like, it's just dangerous the way you're thinking.
Rogan's
saying like, it's really dangerous because a lot of young kids look up to you, man. Like, just, hey, stop.
Right.
And Eddie's like, I mean, you know, sorry that I'm cynical. Sorry I have my doubts. He's like, I'm skeptical because why would you fake 6 moon landings? And he's like, Eddie, Neil, if I had Neil deGrasse Tyson on here, are you willing to debate? And he did. And he's like, hey, that guy's a paid shill. Like, Eddie dismissed it from then. Oh, they just pay these people off to be out there, like, fucking, yeah, dude, there's, you know, the worth is round or whatever, and they fucking get paid. They're sellouts. And then Joe Rogan's like, Eddie, it's Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's an astro fucking physicist, bro. Like, the way you're approaching this is wrong. Neil deGrasse Tyson he hosted the show The Cosmos, and he's an educator like yourself, and they had him on TV and he did well and they brought him back. And you're telling me he's just some paid guy that's being propped up by the algorithm? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
during that time, Rogan had a couple of clips. The Crowder one was probably before that, when he went ham on the weed. And then there's been other instances where he kind of fights back on certain topics. But it was weird to see it with Eddie at that time, because they're literally best friends, right? They played a video of him at Metamorphosis, you know, winning against Hoyler. And Rogan starts to cry. It was so impactful to him, right? But to go back to that clip, it makes you think, like, what made Rogan go off so hard? Like, he's saying, like, you know, young men or young people look up to you. Like, if anybody's a 10th Planet freak, you know, like, shout out to everybody in California, all of the 10th Planet freaks out there in San Diego, they're not worried about Eddie Bravo's thoughts on Flat Earth. And you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they're into that shit.
If you're trying to master the system, I mean, it's kind of like, you there to learn the art of joint destruction and strangulation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you trying to peep these warm-ups. Like, the system.
Are you a 10th Planet freak now? Can I call you a 10th Planet freak?
I mean, the system seems to be, I mean, just the warm-ups alone. I don't know why nobody ever broke this shit down to me. I had to kind of fucking stumble across. Like, nobody ever said, like, bro, do you understand what these warm-ups are? Like, it's always just in passing. Like, oh, do you know the warm-ups? No. Oh, okay, well, we're going to do this instead. And, you know, when I'm visiting stuff and... Nobody ever broke down. It's these warm-ups are like sentences where you're going from one particular position through transitions of what each player is more than likely to do so that you can end at a really good position, like probably a submission. And it's like this sentence you can put together and it's like a shit ton of them. And it's like nobody ever explained to me, like, bro, it's like choreography. If you memorize this shit, it's like you're trying to do your dance move to, but the person's trying to stop you in a way, and you're just figuring out all the possible paths of being stuck inside control or going to this or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's fucking powerful.
It is. It's so funny that you've nerded out so hard. You know, I knew you liked it and you were going to continue to like it, but you have really gravitated to jiu-jitsu, like learning the ins and outs of it.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
And there's so many other systems too, or other, like, I guess, techniques that I think would, like, you'd would pique your interest. Like, there's a bunch of legends out there that, I mean, mastering the whole 10th Planet thing is awesome and it's fantastic, but then you have, like, other dedicated gi guys that have their own thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody that can teach the 50...
It's a universe.
Super huge, wide universe, but somebody that can teach, like, the 50-50 well, or, like, Jeff Glover that does, like, his donkey guard. Have you ever seen a Jeff Glover video? It's crazy. No. I don't even know if he still teaches that or does that, but there's some people that have figured out some wild shit to do in jiu-jitsu. You're like, how the fuck?
There's a lot. There's a lot of science and physics.
Yeah. All leverage.
Like pressure. Like, how are you going to apply pressure to this person's chest? Are you going to do it this way? Are you going to lay down like this on them? You know what I'm saying? What applies more pressure? Are you going to have your foot on the mat eating up half your weight?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
How heavy can you be on
Yeah. How heavy can you make your knee on their pinche panza?
We reference BMAC all the time. That was one of the best things. I took one of his seminars in Beaumont, and that was it. Like, when you're like... Be a dead, basically a dead body on them. Like, make them carry your weight. And he teaches you how to do something so simple, like, oh, make them carry weight. Oh, I got it. And you're like, no, you don't got it. This is how, and it's just like, oh, shit, like, details.
I told you, bro, like, when I was, I'm still green. I'm still super fucking green. But I tell you, for the first time ever, when I was visiting 10th Planet Vegas, and there was two newbies, like, newer than me, I was, even my technique ain't even all that. Like, I have a very limited vocabulary in this shit. But I was able to do stuff to them where it'd frustrate them. It'd wear them out. They were so fucking tired. And even even one time at Urban Jungle, only because that particular student, he didn't really do the jiu-jitsu as much. Like, so I was just doing certain shit. Like, basically, both his shoulders were pinned to the mat. I'm putting all my weight on his chest, and he doesn't understand. So afterwards, when we got up, he was like, damn, man. He was like, damn, bro, if we was really fighting, man, you'd have got me. And it's just like, I wanted to say, like, it's only because I'm using a particular technique that you're not aware. You needed to not be on both shoulders.
Yeah.
And you were getting really fucking tired.
Make you feel like a good big dog, you know, helping him out like that.
You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you got two stripes, you know, you got to be big homie.
Hell yeah.
What's up, player? You how long you been training?
All right, check it out. So... we got about 15 minutes left on this public episode. We're going to hit a lot of stories on the future episodes. But since I mentioned The Matrix, I feel like I'm going to play this clip. You know the Earn Your Leisure podcast. We've talked about it before.
Yes,
they got some pretty good content. They posted a video yesterday that was, I don't know, I took it as very odd, and I want to get your take on it because it kind of talks about The Matrix, the middle class, and that kind of stuff. And we're seeing an attack like no other on the middle class as of late, right? So let me play this for you real quick and see, get your take on it. Make sure the audio is right for you here.
You never really realize you're in the Matrix.
Whoa. Got two videos playing here.
Oh, I hear the planes are back up.
I know, right?
You realize you're in the Matrix until you break out of the Matrix.
Fair.
And, you know, 19 Keith has said something, and I actually looked it up on YouTube, and it's actually true, where they did a research study where they took flies and they put them in a jar. And they put a cap on a jar, and the flies obviously can only fly as high as the cap, the lid. When they took the lid off, they still only flew as high as the lid, even though the lid was off. That's interesting. But what's even more interesting is that when they had children, their children only flew as high as the invisible lid because they were already programmed that that's only as high as you can go. So, you know, it's interesting, like so many different things when I think about it. And you probably don't even realize these things happen. But you ever heard like parents tell their children like, you just played yesterday. You just had fun yesterday. You just had a party yesterday. Like you can only have fun one day out of the week. You can only have a party one day. Like I had a family, like I took my son to dinner in the city for his birthday. His birthday was on a Tuesday. And somebody said like, well, why are you taking him to the city on Tuesday? Like, why don't you just take him on the weekend? And I'm like, well, because his birthday is on Tuesday. But that's the whole mentality of like, low, let's just wait till the weekend because we're working and we gotta get up. Like, I say that to say, you really have to break out of the middle class mindset because it's extremely detrimental. And the most dangerous thing that America ever did was create a middle class. Because when you create a middle class, you create some level of comfort because you're not in poverty, right? Mm-hmm. You're not in poverty. So you think that you actually are living the American dream, yet you're not. You're really not. Mm-hmm. And it's like that mindset is so detrimental because there's so many limiting factors that go into play here, right? Where it's like you got to wait till the weekend to do things. And you can only, like, you ever hear somebody say, like, you just came back from a trip. Why are you traveling so much? Well, why not? Well, why not? Why am I not traveling so much?
Who work for?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why am I not traveling? It's a lot of these things that you have to be extremely careful of the kind of people that you're around, because these kind of limiting words develop habits in your subconscious. And then you feel bad about it. You like, you feel guilty about going on a trip. You feel guilty about going out two nights in a row. You feel guilty about going to the city on Tuesday. Like, you start to like reel it back a little bit. Like, no, I'm doing too much. Let me pull back. But at the highest level, there's no limitations. And I'm speaking from firsthand experience because I see it. So when we in Dubai or Abu Dhabi on a Wednesday, nobody knows whether it's Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday. It doesn't matter.
It's just living life.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Nobody says it's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing out? Nobody says it's 6 o'clock. You have to get up. There's really no rules in life. At the highest level, there's no rules. Rules are only for middle class and poor people. Rich people don't have any rules. They make their own rules. It's like the Matrix.
I'm glad he said rich people, not white people.
Because, yeah, for sure.
Because he's being a real big homie, and he's giving people the game in a way, like using the metaphor of the flies, mm-hmm. in a way that's digestible to where folks can listen. I mean, they have a huge following. So obviously, I mean, tons of people are like, yeah. Yo, I'm trying to figure out real estate and vending machines and all this shit.
So the message, I think, was good. And I just think they kind of fumbled on how to explain it. Because in the comments, too, they're like, this kind of hit little strains. Like, what's wrong with having like a middle class? Like, the middle class is important for the country. Like, a lot of the, you know, the wealthy wouldn't have what they have if it wasn't for the production and efforts of the middle class who got out of poverty. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole system thing. And I'm sure Juan McSoner, once he hears this, can educate everybody more in the Discord of why having that mentality is pretty, like, because considering assets over liabilities is their whole thing, like that's their brand or whatever, that's what the middle class strives for, is obtaining assets, not necessarily fucking being a billionaire, you know what I mean?
So basically you took it as you're hating on the middle class, and the middle class is important to America.
Yeah, it is. It's the backbone of America, for sure. Okay. It was just strange to me, you know.
Well, I honestly feel that sometimes words like middle class, like, people interpret what you're saying. So I think it's very open to interpretation.
It is. And the comments are interesting too. If you guys don't follow Earn Your Leisure, I mean, they're cool. They got great content for real estate and finance or whatever. But in the comments, like, here's the perfect example of contrast. One person was like, to quote a great woman by the name of Beyonce, I've never seen a ceiling I can't smash, and that's to Blue, or like whatever quote was, I guess, to her daughter. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was more like, you need the middle class in order to have the means of production for some of the things. You know, it was these, like, the comments themselves are going against each other.
The way I took it was, he's basically saying, stay aspirational and don't settle from some of the illusions. If he would have elaborated more, because it was kind of edited, mm-hmm. what if he would have added this? To many people, the definition of middle class is having the big car note and having the two-story house in the burbs and making sure you still could have the Louis purse and you got to have a foreign car or whatever, right? If he would have said, however, a lot of times, a lot of that is debt. It's mm-hmm. it's just very leveraged, and you're not as liquid, and you're not really owning. You just got the Cadillac Escalade, but you're making these expensive-ass payments because you're trying to floss in your G-Wagon,
right,
or whatever, right? If he would have maybe elaborated more and said, you know, to many people, the mirage of the middle class really, to me, looks like a lot of debt and you trying to flex for your neighbors. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then maybe you would have said, like, oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, that is often place. And the way I took it is, he's basically saying, don't settle, you know, because there's levels. There's another level you don't know,
right,
that where you could be more free. And you're capable of that by using, like, for example, like, you know, there's the gig economy and new digital media, and you can maybe work from your laptop in Costa Rica on the beach,
right.
But you have a marketing firm and you got virtual assistants. It's almost like the 4-hour work week.
Right. And in the same conversation, this is a PBD, Patrick McDavid's sidekick and co-host on some of his shows, has another take on this. I'll just play it because it's, you know, close to what we're talking about here.
Owning a house and buying a house and taking out a mortgage and taking on debt ain't all that it's cracked up to be. The Realtor Association of the World has done a great job of saying renting is throwing away money, because that's what the American dream was 50 years ago. Yeah. Buy a house, 2-car garage, picket fence. The American dream today is economic freedom. Pick and choose wherever the hell you want to go. Keep it moving and stay flexible and keep your overhead low. Owning a house.
Yeah.
Also makes sense, right? Depending on your stage in life and what your goals are. So the American dream has shifted quite a bit. Like there's a broader way to look at it with AI and computers and work from home and all this kind of shit. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. And also with more and more like you'll own less and be happy kind of thing, and which I completely disagree with. I don't know if that shatters people's aspiration for things or if it encourages it, because you don't necessarily need to acquire a lot.
You know how Scott Adams is good at looking at the other side of the coin and like the nuance of the shit. He did a little dive into that you'll own nothing, be happy. He said his argument is, which there might be a lot of holes in it. His argument is, number one, like, yes, that's a statement the World Economic Forum like platformed, but it's a quote from like somebody who maybe spoke at one of their fucking panels or some shit, where the motherfucker Klaus Schwab come out in that spacesuit.
Fucking Darth Vader.
Yeah, no mamas.
So Scott Adams.
Yeah, so basically he said, it was a quote, and yes, they platformed it. He's like, but let me reframe it for you. He's like, what if, you know, you need a specific tool to do a thing at your house, and then the little fucking Amazon drone drops it off. Like, you rented it. You're never going to need that tool probably for another 3 years, and it takes it back. He's like, you don't own it. You rented it. He's like, you're already doing a lot of that. It's like, technically, it's already. He's like, what? He said, another way to look at it is, that's the trend. And that seems to be where we're headed and where most people are comfortable living. And he's like, and then I guess the argument is like, well, motherfucker, it says own nothing. Like, do you want to like not even own your house or like?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want to throw that out.
No, it's interesting. We're headed in some really crazy times, not just economically, but like culturally. Mm. Like it feels, I mean, we got so much to get into with that in future episodes here later today, but I just want to say that it feels like, or let me ask you, does it feel like things have kind of like tapered, not tapered off, but like are leveling for a little bit right now? Because we're in this like limbo year where there's not a lot of huge elections. Like people are still railing against Trump and we're finding these documents on Biden, but like no machine, no political organization machine is like gassing people up right now. So it kind of feels like, oh, things are kind of like semi-normal, right? Mm. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, because like I know what you mean. Basically, like it went from all types of crazy shit ramped up because election and all that to this whole McCarthy thing. And is he good? Is he bad? Are they gonna vote for him? What are they gonna negotiate? What's he gonna do? Is he a fucking rhino?
Yeah.
And some people are like, is Trump a rhino?
He gets some people to just kind of like stop paying
attention. Is DeSantis a rhino? No,
bro. I know everybody's a goddamn
rhino.
It's just
splintering and splintering.
It is. So it's got to boil around summertime when like ad campaigns and you know, all these political campaigns start gassing up advertisements on TV and radio and shit, and all the attacks start coming out towards it. Already, it sounds weird, but the holiday season for this fucking year will be here before you know it. How fast are the years moving, Shingo, now that you're in your 40s? Does it feel like it's accelerated?
I don't know, man, because we say that every year.
We do. But compared to what you would normally...
We literally say that every year. Like, oh my God, the year flew. Oh my God, we're already in February. Dude, Valentine's is here already. Like, and then next thing you know, it's like, dude, it's fucking St. Patrick's all day. Oh my God, dude, Easter. Oh my God, Mother's Day. You know, and it's like, dude, it's freaking summer. Where's the time going? It's like, bitch, it's been moving the same.
Does it move faster on a flat earth than a round earth?
No, I think it really depends on like the individual's perception. That's what I think, you know.
Okay.
Like if you're present, I don't know.
That's the goal, right? Being present?
Yeah, part of it.
So last story for this episode, did you hear the FAA grounded all U.S. domestic flights this morning?
Yes, sir.
Do you know why by chance? Because I just caught the headline. It was breaking news at the time.
Well, basically, bro, depends on who you ask. Mm. Pete Buttigieg.
What'd Pete Buttigieg say?
He was out there in like Europe getting ready for fucking Davos or some shit. And he on maternity leave again.
Again?
No, I'm kidding. he took forever to fucking tweet in the morning, like respond. And basically his thing is like, oh, well, you know, our department's going to make sure that, you know, they software. It was a little glitch or something. And then they asked Biden, could it have been a cyber attack? He's like, we don't know if it, you know, maybe it was. So it's like he threw Buttigieg under the bus and we don't know, like, bitch.
He said it could have been?
He's like, well, you know, we don't know. You know, wow. Motherfucker answered and said, like, could be.
Maybe. It's Russia.
I mean, y'all never heard of, like, what is it? Next generational warfare? How do the Chinese call it? Un-something warfare? Unconventional?
Unconventional,
Is it unconventional?
Fifth-generational warfare?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like unconventional. It's like, we're going to hit you from angles. Yeah. You know, we might flood your country with fentanyl. We might buy off some politicians, erode the border, you know, buy off some universities, you know, donate a lot of money. Give a bunch of money to the Brooklyn Nets. You know what I'm saying? Give money to these universities.
Let me see as we're talking what
is the Confucius Institute.
Confucius.
Yeah, fly people out to China. You know, start the indoctrination.
Let's see. As we're recording this, 4 minutes ago.
Shit, ramp up TikTok algorithm.
Buttigieg defends FAA's decision to ground flights after system outages 4 minutes ago on CNN. Fox reports White House says no evidence of cyber attack. Biden briefed on ground flights.
It might be. Could be.
Why would you put anything past anything at this point? Like, people that don't have a little cynicism or little skepticism these days. Bro, straight up NPC.
Well, a lot of people don't know, but not even beyond that. You don't even have to go so extreme as like, y'all motherfuckers NPCs. It's like, people don't know we're at war. Mm-hmm. They have no idea. They're like, why the fuck Chingo Bling still doing this punk ass podcast? That's how they see it.
Yeah. Well, 40% of listeners, 40% of Americans aren't very politically engaged, at least.
And then the ones that think they are just fucking being psyoped and being lied to.
Yeah, they're kind of just...
They're like, Neil deGrasse Tyson said that I should go get boosted. It's like, first of all, he's a round earther. we ain't listening to him.
Son of a bitch. We're
talking about the science.
Dude, he is very hard to listen to these days. Like, he can't... I don't know if he's ever said that, like, he was wrong or that, like, you know, you're right. Maybe I need to reframe the way I think of it.
I think Rob had his pom-poms out for Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Early on, dude, I was like, he makes stars cool. Like, I want to watch whatever the fuck is... Was it Cosmos? You said it earlier. And it
eating
sparked
popcorn.
Straight up. I was like, oh, nice. The stars and the
popcorn
galaxies.
Popcorn with mustard.
Fuck that disgusting mustard. Like, what is it? Yeah, I don't even know what it's called. It's got a weird name.
It's some German.
Yeah,
shit.
Some German.
Straight
shit.
Out of Germany.
Straight out of the motherland of whatever it's from. I don't like it, dude. It's just not good.
No, it's all good. No, that's a very distinct. No, I could see that, bro.
It'll clean your sinuses out.
I could definitely see like 9 out of 10 people saying that mustard is way too strong.
Oh, okay, good. I don't feel so
no,
bad.
That's some acquired taste shit.
Yeah.
That's super acquired taste. Just like if you gave someone like black bitter espresso versus chocolate milk with a little bit of coffee in it, they're going to be like, oh, this one's really good with some foam and sprinkles and syrup and fucking peppermint and shit.
Easy with the sound effects, buddy. It's a family friendly show.
That's for the Patreon.
The not safe for work episodes.
Of course they're going to like that one. They're going to like that one instead of just the, oh shit, fucking raw bean, my G.
Whoa.
Straight raw bean.
Whoa.
Going in raw bean.
NSF is for the premium subscribers.
Raw bean or how you like your coffee?
1 hour and this is the highlight of the podcast for people
it's
right
the
now.
The highlight, big time. Yay, for everybody that stayed to the end.
I like my black bitter-ass coffee.
Yeah, I really fuck with one of my go-tos a lot of times at Starbucks or anywhere.
Yeah.
Is just, man, just give me a dopio, my G. The
fuck is that?
It's just a two-shot, double shot.
Oh.
And sometimes they throw it on ice. Sometimes you want it hot.
Yeah.
Pipe it up.
Pipe it up.
They be like, how you want it? Ice to hot. Pipe it up. Pipe it up.
Oh, since we're on the subject, why did you send me that recycling article about K-cups? Because it's all bullshit?
Some type of civil lawsuit said if you fuck with K-cups,
yeah,
hit them up because
it's like a multi, it's like a five out of whatever it was, million, billion, 500 trillion, zillion dollars, like Joe Biden would say. And
true, true.
And if you sign up to, you know, be a part of this class action lawsuit, you'd get $6.
Okay.
So I read through it too because I was like, oh, this is interesting. But it was all about like recycling and like they weren't being honest with how they dispose of these things. And then they can't take, I don't know if it's a full size K cup or like the Nespresso ones that are little because it's like not fucking recyclable. I'm like, this is bullshit. Oh, okay. Recycling in general is a psyop. Ask Eddie Bravo.
For sure.
And Sam Triple M. All right, let's
Neil deGrasse.
Let's send him off into the premium episodes.
Oh, whoa. If y'all want the premium, you can't get past this red velvet rope. Can't get past this red velvet rope. Everything moving forward is strictly subscriber. Apple Podcasts subscriptions. Is it live?
It is live as of one right now. When this drops, go to it. It's live.
So folks can start saying, I want the whole enchilada.
The whole enchilada, and you get a free 3-day trial. And as a matter of fact, the first two episodes from the year are on iTunes for subscribers, and then these two for this week. So you have all the 2023 premium ones available to you.
It sounds great. Sounds like a deal. Look into it.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.